Bibles tonight, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. If you wouldn't honor God's word, let's stand to our feet and we'll read the message tonight. Then we'll pray for these as we always do on Wednesday night. And please pray tonight, especially for Jeannie. It's Jeannie, right? Gina. That's with an A. With Gina and her family tonight. And all that's taking place there, okay. John chapter 15, verse 1. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Father, I come to the name of Jesus tonight. We thank you for the very reading of God's word. We thank you for the prayer requests, the songs that were sung. Thank you for our visitors tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that cares. And you're a God tonight, Lord, that provides. And Father, tonight as we look to you and lean on you, we're asking you once again, dear God, in a spiritual sense, God, you feed our souls. God, you open our eyes. God, you help us to hear you tonight in a real way. Father, I ask you, God, that there's so many needs here tonight, more than we ever know. God, so many places where people are at. God, so much experiences that they're facing. Fears and doubts, dear God, and dangers. And we're asking God to move in a mighty way. Open the hearts of your people. God, save the sinner tonight. That one that's closest to hell tonight, bring them to the Lord. Bring them to yourself tonight. Oh, may you be glorified and honored in all that's said and done in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, tonight we've been talking, on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about witnessing. And we've been talking about how to do that and why to do that. And tonight I want to bring a message, and it has a sort of a witnessing to it. I believe it has the basis of what a witness should have. We talked about last week that if we're going to be a witness, you're going to have to do it because of the Spirit of God. And being filled with the Spirit of God, you'll find yourself being a witness to this world. You'll find yourself being a light into the midst of darkness. You'll find yourself being what God would have you to be in the Holy Ghost of God. We feel, and I believe that you feel, what's wrong today is that many people are walking without the filling of the Spirit of God. Many churches are churches that have no spirit, or the spirit is grieved nor quenched. Many preaching and much preachers today are preaching by the flesh and not by the Spirit of God. There will be no results without the Spirit of God. There'll be no successes in lives without the Spirit of God tonight. And there'll be nobody saved without Him too. But I'm going to tell you the second thing tonight. In order for us to be a witness tonight, we've got to understand tonight what it means to abide in Christ. I notice here in many occasions in this scripture, look at verse 4, it says, abide in me. In verse 4, it says, abide in the vine. In verse 4, it says, abide in me. Verse 5, it says, abideth in me. In verse 6, it says, if a man abide not. In verse 7, it says, if you abide in me. In verse 7, it says, abide in you. In verse 9, it says, continue ye. That's the same word as abide. And verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide. And the Bible says in verse 10, abide in his love. Verse 11 says, remain in you. That word remain is the same word as abide. And so I would think tonight, in the context of the scriptures, that God is trying to tell us something concerning abiding. Abiding. What does that mean? And what does it come out of that? Well, I could say there's a few things tonight that you might be of an interest that could come out of abiding in Christ. I would say, number one, tonight, and we hope we get there, but we see, according to the Scripture, that it is helpful. It is helpful to abide in Christ. Tonight it is fruitful to abide in Christ. I notice thirdly tonight, according to the Scripture, that it is hopeful to abide in Christ. Now let's get first tonight. What is abiding though? What is the content of abiding? If all these promises, like the promise of God there in verse 7, he says, "And you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." No, that's what a promise, what a hopeful thought that is tonight. That if you're abiding in Christ, you have a promise. And he says, "You asked according to will, and it shall be done unto you." I believe there's everybody in this room tonight with desire to have verse 7 in their lives. Amen? I mean, there would be nobody. You'd be a fool tonight to think that you can live this life without the power of prayer, without the answer to prayer. Tonight, you would be someone tonight of silliness and of foolishness to think that you can live this life without God and the answer to prayer tonight. But I say abiding in me is the key. Abiding in Christ tonight is the key. We find, number one, concerning the content of abiding. What is the definition of abiding? Tonight it means tonight when he says in verse 4, it says, "Abide in me." What is he saying? He's saying this. He says to remain in Christ. To remain in Christ. See, to abide in something is, as a Christian tonight and as a church tonight, when you got saved and when you got born again and when you got washed in the blood of the Lamb and when you came to that place in your life, when you came to the end of your life and you came to the end of your sin and you came to the end of your ways and you looked up to God and you looked to God and said, "Oh God, I have went so far, I've done so much, I'm such a sinner, I'm so wicked, I'm so undone, I'm so wrong with you. I have offended God. I have offended my family. I have ashamed me. I have done disgraceful things. My heart is desperately wicked. And friend, even my imagination and my thought process is wrong. And I come to the end, Lord, and I ask you to come into my heart and to save my soul. And I repent of my sin. And I trust Jesus as my Savior, the one to forgive me of my sins, the one to wash my sins away, the one to write my name in the Lamb's book of life, the one to give me eternal life, the one that will walk with me and lead and guide me along the way. Hey, listen, I decide to abide in Christ." And when that day comes, when you get born again, the Bible teaches us to abide in Christ. That means to remain in Christ. Just remain there. It means tonight, in the way of a definition, it means not to depart from Christ. It means not to leave Christ. Now get the definition of it, because all the blessings and all the consequences come from abiding. If you can't abide in Christ, then you get none of these. None of these benefits and none of these blessings will apply. Abiding is when you get born again and you remain in Christ. You don't depart Christ. You don't leave Christ. You continue in Christ. You are present with Christ. You're not to perish from Christ. You're to last in Christ. You're to endure in Christ. To survive in Christ. It means to live in Christ. To abide tonight means not to become another. You know, many people who was lost and without God, and they lived a wicked life, but when they got saved and born again, they became different. They became a different person. Their change of mind, their change of talk, the change of drink, the change of substance, the change of attitude, the change of behavior. The Bible teaches that you're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Listen, friend, when you get born again, you get changed. You're different. You're not the same as you were. You don't do what you used to do. You don't act the way you used to act. You're different. But the word abiding means is that you stay the same as you are and you don't change from that way. That's what it means to abide. So if you're here, or you're there, and you say, "Well, you know what, I got saved, I changed, and now I went back to the way I used to be," then you're not abiding. That's what the word abiding means. Amen? So we're very seriously concerning the word abiding. It means to wait. It means to stand still. It means to dwell in. It means to not be another or different than what you were when you got saved. So when somebody says to you, are you abiding in Christ? That would mean that I got saved. I'm still saved. I'm still living for God. I'm still got my heart towards the Lord. I'm still remaining in His will. I'm doing what He wants me to do. I'm walking along His path. I'm striving by the Holy Ghost of God. I'm coming to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm doing as God would have me to do. I'm abiding in Him. Yes, I am. That's what it means to abide. I'm not going to tell you something different tonight. I'm not going to lie to you and try to butter it up and try to tell you that everybody's okay even though you're not abiding, because you're not okay. The definition of this is very clear tonight. I want you to notice the description that Jesus gives us concerning abiding. He says, concerning abiding, He says, as Jesus now is talking to His apostles. There's 12 apostles. And Jesus in chapter 15 is talking to them. And as He's speaking to them, He's telling them about a true vine. He says in verse 1, He says, I'm the true vine. Jesus saying, I'm the true vine. He's saying that the husbandman in verse 1 is the Father. He's God. And then he says about the branches in verse 2. He says, every branch. He says concerning in verse 4, He says, as the branch. He says in verse 5, you are the branches. And so now He's starting to discuss to them, the 12 apostles. He's saying that Jesus is the vine, the Father is the husbandman, you are the branch. Well, who are the branches tonight? Well, the branches are made up into two. The first branches that I notice in the Scripture is the branches who are followers of Christ. Now, a follower of Christ is not a sometime follower of Christ. A follower of Christ is a 7-day week, amen, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. That's a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ is one who just follows Christ. The word branches would mean those that are disciples of Jesus. They are learners or pupils of Jesus. They are one who are listening and under the preaching and teaching of God's Word, and they're moving towards that learning, moving towards that knowledge, moving towards that place where they can know, because they're going to be just like Jesus. Amen? So they want more. The word branch was meaning those that are faithful to God, those that are faithful to church, those that are faithful to the Word, those that are faithful to each other, those that are faithful to the Lord. Amen? They're just faithful. Amen? These are the branches. The branches are not only those who are followers of the Lord, disciples of Christ, faithful to God, but they're worshipers of the Lord. They are worshipers. They worship the Lord. They don't talk about it. They don't act like they do. They just do. They're worshipers. They're followers. They're disciples. Tonight, they're saved. They're born again. They're washed in the blood. They're changed by the glory of God. They're walking with the Lord Jesus. Them were the branches tonight that I notice. But there's another branch in which I need to make mention of. He goes and says in verse 2, again, He's speaking to the 12 apostles. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taketh away. It says, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, He gives another indication. Turn to John chapter 13, which is a couple of chapters over to your left, and look at chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus again is speaking to the apostles, the 12. He says to Peter, Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, thou shalt never wash my feet, Jesus answered him. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter, verse 9, saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Well, Peter changed his mind quickly. Because Peter was such a loud mouth and such haste. He said, you ain't going to do that. And Jesus said, well, if I don't do that, He said, then no part of you is right. He said, okay, do it all. In verse 10, Jesus said this, and boy, this is remarkable. I want you to get to what He's talking about because it relates to chapter 15. He said, Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Jesus again speaking to the apostles. He says, and ye are clean. But then He makes this statement. He says, but not all. Then in verse 11, for ye know that who should betray Him Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about Judas. You know who he's talking about in verse 2? Judas. And them, they're as Judas. Now what was Judas? Well, Judas was an apostle. Judas was one tonight that you'd consider to be one of the branches. He was one tonight that he was a part. He professed that they know Christ. And Judas was one that went around not denying Christ. He didn't go around betraying Christ. He didn't go around acting as if he wasn't part of Christ. Matter of fact, he was the one who carried the bag. He's the one that carried the money. He was the treasurer of the group. And so Judas was one that made profession that he knew Christ. He was amongst all the miracles. He was amongst all the preaching. He was amongst all the teaching. He was amongst all what Jesus did. And everywhere Jesus went, the 12 apostles went with him. And so Jesus said in verse 2, he said, now listen, he said, there is a branch. Branch. It's of me in a physical sense. He said, they think they are disciples of Christ. And Judas was one who put himself in that position around all the apostles and all that were around him and thinking that he is a disciple of Christ. You see, these branches that I'm speaking of tonight are branches that have no fruit. And they are ones out there that say they know God, they know Christ, they say they're disciples of the Lord. They say they're followers of Jesus. They say that they consider themselves to be saved. They consider themselves to be born again. They think that they know God. They think they walk with Christ. If you ask them tonight, are you a Christian? They say yes. But there's no fruit. Jesus said, Judas, no fruit. So in the context of the story tonight of the Bible, Jesus says to the apostles, I am the true vine, the Father is the husbandman, and there's 11 branches that abide in me, and there's one branch that don't. Now in a group like this tonight, there are many who abide in the Jesus tonight, in the vine, and there's some that don't. Now the ones that don't tonight are not the ones who say they're lost. They're not the ones who say, I don't know God. They're not the ones who say, I'm not a Christian. That does not at all say or speak of who what Jesus is speaking of. He is talking about those tonight who say they know God. They say that they're saved. They say that they're Christian. They say they love church. They say they love His Bible. They say they're going to heaven when they die, but they have no fruit. You know what Jesus said about them? Verse 2, look what it says. Very clear. He says, that branch beareth no fruit. He taketh away. He taketh away. And so tonight, it's not what you think. It's not what you prayed. It's not what you joined. It's not what you might imagine tonight. It's are you bearing fruit? That's all that matters. Well, I'm good to my neighbor. I'm good to my husband. I go to church. I give my tithes. I'm this and I'm that and I'm this. That don't matter tonight. What matters tonight is, are you bearing fruit? Pretty clear tonight, isn't it? Not all that says, Lord, Lord. Not all that say they're Christians are. See, Judas, he had a superficial relationship with Christ. He did. You know what tonight? If there's no fruit in you, you've got a superficial relationship with Christ. You've been deceived. You've been duped. Tonight, he tells us concerning this content of this abiding. He says the vine. And who is the vine tonight? The vine is the Lord, of course, in verse 1. Well, the Lord this morning, this evening in verse 1, the husbandman is God, the Father. He's the creator of the vine. He is the over caretaker of the vine. And so tonight, when you see a vine, it is God that takes care of that vine. It is God that is the one who's the secure of that vine. It is God who's the protector of that vine. It is God who is the one who sustains that vine. It is God tonight who puts out the vine and calls the vine. And the vine does not go away. And the vine does not be overcome. And the vine don't get cut. And the vine don't deteriorate. Because it's God tonight that's the husband over that. And so the vine tonight is the husbandman's care. But the vine is the branch's support. See, without that vine tonight, there would be no branches. See, it's the vine tonight that brings support to the branches. It's the vine that gives life to the branches. It's the vine tonight that gives drink and food and growth to the branches. If you go out there tonight and look at any vine in a physical manner, if you cut that vine, you'll find that those branches die. Amen? Because of that vine, there's life in the branches. There's food and nourishment and substance, and there's something there that they can grow thereby. And they become strong, they become beautiful, they can blossom because of the vine, not because of the branches. Now tonight, the branches. The branches tonight is the husbandman's watch. The Father looks over the branches. Because the branches is given life by the vine, and the vine belongs to Him. The vine's work, that vine has a responsibility. Remember, Jesus is the vine. He has a responsibility to the branches. He has an accountability to the branches. Jesus is accountable for every branch. Jesus is responsible for every branch. Every Christian, every child of God, everyone that repents and receives Christ as their Savior, everyone that turns and believes in the Lord tonight, everyone that finds himself guilty before God and trusts Christ for the saving power of the blood of the Lamb in their lives, you'll find that Jesus has responsibility for you and accountability to you. Because you're the branch and He's the vine. So we find tonight that this vine has responsibility and accountability for the branches. Now, the branches is worth. You would think tonight, as that vine would look at that branch, what was the worth of that branch? So I would think tonight, as Jesus looks at you and I tonight, He determines the worth of us. He determines by His responsibility and accountability, what is that branch worth? Well, He says in verse 2, He says that if that branch in me that beareth no fruit, He taketh away. Now remember now, it's His responsibility and His accountability, right? And so He said, Jesus said, the vine said, that if you're not going to bear no fruit, and you say that I'm yours and you're mine, and you say you're a Christian, and you say you're the church, and you say you're born again, but you bear no fruit, He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you away. That's what He's going to do. There's no choice for the branch. The branch don't say, oh, please don't do that. The branch don't say, hey, can we negotiate? The branch don't say, hey, oh, okay, I'll start doing better. The branch will say, hey, wait, I had a hard time, God. I've been through a struggle of life. I mean, listen, you don't understand what I've been facing. And now, just give me one more chance. No, God said, the vine said, responsibility and accountability of the vine. He says, listen, you're not bearing no fruit, and I'll take you away. That's what He said. That's what He does. That's what's going on. So we find tonight, we got to search in our heart. Not did I call on God, did I not pray the right prayer, did I not get baptized in city water or muddy water, or did I join the right church, or do I have the right Bible tonight? No, we need to look into our hearts and say, is there fruit? Because He said, if there's no fruit and you say you belong to me, I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to take you away. Well, tonight, He says in verse 6, not only does He remove, because you're not bearing fruit. But He reveals what He's trying to say. Look what He says in verse 6. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. See, it's about abiding. It's about abiding in Christ. And that's what he's saying about this branch that has no fruit. He's saying the reason why this branch has no fruit is because it's not abiding in me. It has not come to the place in his life where he has really turned from their sin and really have repented of their wickedness and really have received Christ as Lord and Savior of their life and has not been stayed and remained and stuck with God. They departed from me. They left me. They went their own way. But those that abide in me will stay, will stick, will not be moved, will not leave, will not forsake, will not change, and will not be different. He said, that one that abides in me tonight. He said, if you abide in me tonight, he said, then I won't cast you off. But if you're not abiding in me, then you're going to be cast off. Look what he says. He says about this revealing of being one that has not abided in him. In other words, you're not living in Christ tonight. You're not depending upon Christ tonight. You're not empowered by Christ tonight. You've allowed anything and everything and all things of this world to control your mind and control your heart. You allow circumstances and situations to move you. You allow people tonight to cause you to become the way that you are. And Jesus said, hey, if you abide in me, you'll abide in me. And that is, you'll stay with me and stick with me. But if you don't abide with me, I'm going to cast you off. You're going to wither. Wither. It wasn't meant tonight to wither. It means to dry up and shrivel up, become hard and become lifeless. Now, I've seen people like this in church. I've seen people like this outside the church. Been saved for 27 years, been pastoring for 20 years, and you kind of see a lot of people. I hear a lot of people all the time that they're saved. Everywhere I go, I ask them about, are you saved? And, oh, I'm saved. Just about everybody I talk to is saved. Everybody's been born again. Everybody loves God. Very few go to church. Everybody loves Christ, but very few read their Bible. How many, friend, they say that they love Jesus. They say they're born again. They say they've been born of the blood of the Lamb. They tell you a good story, but if you look upon their lives, they're withering. They're dry. They're lifeless. Now, they want to say because they made a decision back then. They want to save because of problems. They want to save because of people. They want to save because of choices that they made. That's not the reason why you're withering. The reason why you're withering is because you're not abiding in Christ. That's why. Slice it, dice it how you want. You can say it how you want to say it tonight, but God says it well. He said, if you abide not in me, he said, I'm going to cast you out, and you're going to wither. And many people tonight who say they're saved, and they got no life of God in them at all. They've got no love of Christ in their heart. They've got no faithfulness about them. They've got no dedication and determination within them. They're not devoted for the cause of Christ. The Bible hasn't even been upon their eyes in years. Hey, they ain't prayed in so many times unless they want something from God. Hey, they have not come to the place of surrender and submission and yielding and sacrifice unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, they use them as a light. They use them as some kind of a help. They use them as some kind of a place where, listen, only I call on you when I need you. Amen. But the Bible says that those are those that have life not in them. Withering. Hey, he says, I gather them up. It says in verse 6. He says, gather them and cast them into the fire. Listen, these branches are lost branches, yet they say they're saved. These are lost branches that are going to burn someday. These are lost branches that are going to be put into the fire and cast into the fire. And friend, if your names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight, the Bible says you shall be cast into the lake of fire. All I'm saying tonight is this. Stop putting all your profession and all your thoughts and all your prayers and all that you might have in a feeling or tinsling, little feeling or thought tonight in your mind and your heart. Are you bearing fruit? That's all that matters. You got branches that bear fruit. You got branches that don't bear fruit. The ones that don't bear fruit wither up, all gathered up, cast into the fire, and in hell shall you be. Did God cast you there? Did Christ cast you there? Did the church cast you there? Did the pastor cast you there? No, you cast yourself there because you chose not to abide
in Christ. So tonight, we can't blame anybody but ourselves. So tonight, in order for us to understand the Scripture, Judas, he's burning because he was that branch that didn't abide in Christ. And yet, he looked like the branch that was in Christ. He considered a branch. Everybody thought he was a branch. I mean, if you talk to Judas and you've been around Judas, everybody outside of the apostles said, yeah, he's a Christian. He's around Christ all the time. Come on now. He's an apostle. I mean, he was looking like one. He even considered, everybody considered him to be one. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 25, don't turn there, but it says that Judas went to his own place. Meaning that Judas went to hell. Why did Judas go to hell? Because he was a branch that was not abiding in the vine. Tonight, you must make sure that you're a branch that's abiding in the vine. Well, now, let me show you number two tonight as we move forward. Now, I noticed tonight the vine and the branch that bears no fruit. But how about the branch that bears fruit? How about those that abide in Christ? I'm going to say number one. Those that abide in Christ, because you abide in Him, it's helpful. Let me tell you why it's helpful, number one. In verse 2, he says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. You know why it's helpful tonight to abide in Christ? Because you come under the chastisement hand of God. That's helpful tonight. Don't turn there. We've got a way of time. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11, read it tonight. You'll find that Jesus said, whom that He loves, He chastises. And those that He does not chastise, they are none of His. Amen? And so they're like legitimate children. But I'm saying tonight, if you abide in Christ, you can mark this down. One indication. How do I know if I'm abiding in Christ? You know it by the chastisement of the Lord. And when you sin, and when you do wrong, and when you imagine wrong, think wrong, become wrong, you'll find that the Holy Ghost of God will begin to convict you of your sin. He'll begin to tell you in the darkness of that night, in the coldness of that day, in the midst of that sin, and the time, friend, when you can't go to bed, you can't sleep, because the Holy Ghost of God is whipping you up saying, listen, you've sinned against me. You've got to get that right. And you go through a process of a whipping with God. That's helpful. That's helpful tonight. If you're a parent tonight and you don't discipline your children, you don't chastise your children, let them grow up to be a monster. Yeah. You say, oh, I don't want to break their heart. Well, just wait a little while, they'll break yours. Yeah. That's right. If you don't direct them now, you don't teach them now, you don't discipline them now, you don't chastise them now, friend, one of these days they're going to chastise you. Hey, friend, when they're standing up cussing you out and standing up telling you how they're going to beat you up and telling you how stupid and no good and low down you are and you got tears running down your face and your heart is broken, go back 10 years later whenever you could have wore his hide out, whenever you could have told them, chastise them and got them to the place where they break their will. And, friend, you let them know who is boss in the home, you'll go back to that place and, oh, God. But it's too late, man. I'll tell you something with God tonight. God to chastise those that are biting in Him. That's helpful. I like it when God gets me back on the straight path. I'm just like you tonight. I get off. But God won't let His children stay off. Let me tell you how God works. Number one, God to chastise you. That'll give you like a little whipping on the behind. Boom, boom. And He'll get your attention. But if you don't listen the first time, He'll run a tragedy in your life. He'll run a tragedy. He'll bring something in your life that'll be heartbreaking. That's what the Bible teaches. Hebrews chapter 12, you don't believe me. And boy, he'll put something in your life that'll be devastating. Lose a child, lose a spouse, lose a parent, lose a job. Something in your life is going to go terribly bad, terribly wrong, because God's chastising His children. If you don't listen, He'll take you on. He'll not allow His children to live a wicked, ungodly, Christless life and bring shame and bring dishonor to His church and to His name. You'll not mock God. No, sir, no, ma'am. So if you're a Christian tonight, it's helpful that God has straightened us up. If we don't listen, He'll bring things in our life that's even worse. If we don't listen, He'll just take us on home. Oh, there's a many Christians tonight who went home early because they did not think it was helpful for the chastisement of the Lord. The Bible calls it purging. Purging. Anybody, I'm not a gardener, so I can't talk to that matter, but I know that our trees out here, those rose bushes, got purged. Did y'all know it got cut? That's going to help them. Amen? It'll help you too. So it's helpful. The abiding in Christ is helpful. Well, I got to hurry. Then there's a cleansing. Not only the chastisement, but there's a cleansing that's helpful. Look at verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know how God cleanses you up? He cleanses you up by the preaching of His word. And tonight, can I just say this, dear Christian? The more you miss, the dirty you get. Amen, Brother Larry. That is exactly true. The more I miss preaching of God's word, the dirtier I get. The filthier I get. I get horrible. I start to stinking. I start to looking ugly. How the sin gets on my face, I get more wrinkles. I mean, listen, my body starts to aching. And my life starts to get into trouble because I miss the preaching of God's word. I'm just saying tonight, whether you miss it on purpose, whether you miss it on accident, maybe you miss it because you have to miss it, the fact of the matter is, missing the preaching of God's word is the way God cleanses you. When you miss it tonight, you miss the cleansing that could be helpful. The second thing is whenever you hear the teaching of God's word. I'm baffled tonight. I know it's Wednesday night. Y'all probably thinking I'm thinking it's Sunday. I'm baffled tonight when the teaching of God's word goes on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at Glory Baptist Church of how many people are not here. That baffles me. I don't get that. That looks like no, that you're not abiding in Christ, because if you're abiding in Christ, you'd want to get that cleansing of the word, and the cleansing of the word comes through the teaching of the word. There's no excuse tonight. I'm tired. I'm lazy. I just don't want to. I don't have to. I'm spiritual enough. I mean, why would I want to come early? I hear enough from you. At 11 o'clock, you go 60 minutes. How much do you think I need? 65 sometimes. Don't make fun. You get cleansed tonight when you're by the word, by the preaching of it, by the teaching of it, but then by the reading of it. Man, tonight, when you come talk to me, usually I ask you, are you reading your Bible? 9 out of 10 times, people say no. All advice I can give to you, when you've got troubles in your life and you're a Christian and things are not going so well, it just might be the chastisement of God. It just might be that God's fixing to lead you to the tragedy if you don't get yourself together. And you're coming to Brother Larry for a safety valve. And you run over to me like I've got all the answers and I got all the key words and I have a direct line that you don't have. But the problem is tonight, if you're not reading your Bible, you don't need to come see Brother Larry. You ain't got enough abiding in you. You ain't got enough Christ in you. You ain't got enough love of God in you to get in your Bible and read your Bible. And if that's not giving you enough, then come see Brother Larry. Now, I didn't say tonight, go out there and say something I didn't say. I didn't say, don't come see Brother Larry when you got trouble. I didn't say that. I said, just read your Bible before you get there. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Reading your Bible will get a lot of those problems taken out of you. It'll clean you up. If you don't read your Bible tonight, you're filthy. We can smell you from here. Well, sometimes I take my glasses off because everything's blurry. Oh, when I put it on, though, I see stuff that, man, I can't even mention it. Well, can I say tonight? Give me a few more minutes. I got another thing I want to tell you. The clarity by His truth. Look in verse 4. Boy, I like this. He says, abide in me and I in you. Remember now, this is the benefits of being abiding in Christ. He says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. In other words, tonight what the Bible's teaching us in the way of clarity of truth is tonight, if God looks at you tonight and He's looking for fruit, if He doesn't see any fruit in you, it's because you can't bear it yourself. He is the only one that can cause fruit to be bearing in your life. If you try to live this Christian life by yourself and alone and on your terms and with your limits and with your restrictions and go to church when you want to and read the Bible when you want to and call on God when you want to tonight, you'll find yourself not bearing fruit because you're doing it yourself. Clarity of the Word of God. You're powerless to bear fruit. Now this is a scary part, because heaven and hell is determined by your fruit. Man, if there's no fruit and you can't bear it yourself, that means you've got to depend on something else to bear that fruit so God can see fruit. In other words, you can't get to heaven by yourself. Your good works and your pretty looks and your good shapes and all your swelling words and all your monies and all your works and all your teachings and all your gifts and all your abilities and all of your talents tonight does not equal the fruit. And you can't muster up one. That's what it says. So no branch, all branches are powerless of itself. They're fruitless of itself. They're hopeless of themselves. There's no bragging rights for it. There's no boastful rewards in it. Listen, friend, look at verse 5. The last portion of it. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. And you know what many so-called Christians tonight are doing? Nothing. Why are they not doing nothing? Because they can't. You can't do it in yourself. You can't bear no fruit by yourself. So friend, you're in a pickle. You're in trouble here tonight. You say you're a Christian. You tell me you think you know God. But friend, there ain't no fruit that you know God. You can't do it yourself. Matter of fact, you just can't do nothing. And people are just honest tonight. You say, why don't you do nothing for God? I can't. The reason why, because you're not saved. That's why. Well, tonight. Now is there a hopeful that there's a cleansing and there is a clarification of the truth tonight. There's a chastisement. But then I want you to know, secondly, there's a fruitfulness. In verse 5 it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's automatic. Tonight, if you're a Christian, you will automatically bring fruit. Automatic. Not only is it automatic, but it's assuredly. You see how it's written? The same bringeth forth much fruit. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He will. It's automatic. It's assuredly. Thirdly, it's affirming. Look at verse 8. Herein my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. What's going to be the revelation and manifestation of a disciple? Bearing much fruit. You can't tell me you're a disciple and you're a lover of God. You've got to show me. See, you saying that you're a Christian tonight and you love God, that don't glorify God. But what glorifies God is when you bear much fruit. That's a disciple of His. Well, tonight, thirdly, verse 7, there's hopeful. And I close with this thought. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I'm telling you. The branch that is receiving the vine's blood. In that vine tonight, I wish I had a vine, I don't have one, but there's a vine, there's blood in that vine. And that vine is that blood is going into that branch. And as long as that branch is receiving that blood, that will give you an opportunity to pray. And God said, I'll answer that. As you hear that preaching of God's Word, as you hear that teaching of God's Word, and as you read that God's Word, and that Word of God that comes through the channel of the Holy Ghost of God, it comes down into your heart. And when you receive that blood, you receive that Word of God, and you make an application into your life, God says, man, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. And if you do that, you according to your will, He said, you ask it. He said, and I'll give it to you. But you got to abide in Him. Isn't that good? If you're receiving His Word now. Receiving His Word. Every time it's preached, every time it's taught, every time you read it, man, it's something is going in you. I'm receiving that. Yeah. Yeah, I receive that. The Bible says that a wise man receiveth instruction, but a fool receiveth not. The Bible says a wise man get wiser, and a fool will be angry with you if you try to tell him any kind of instruction. Well, tonight, are you receiving the Word of God tonight? Have you shut me off? Are you receiving it? If you're receiving it tonight, you got hope. Sunday morning, when you come back to church, will you receive it? Sunday night, will you receive it? Tonight, before you go to bed, you read your Bible. Will you receive it? If you do, you'll have hope. The second thing I want you to notice is the branch that is remaining on the vine's body has hope. See, tonight, if you abide, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, my words abide in you. In other words, if that body, which is Christ, His words is Him, if you will remain on that vine, abide that vine, attached to that vine, attached to Christ, hold to Christ, stay with Christ, don't run, don't turn, don't tuck tail, hold on, stay with the Lord. He says, you ask what you will. He says, I get it. I need some people to get a hold of this. I need some people tonight to be that branch and get a hold of that vine and you pray for me. Wouldn't that be good tonight? When God said, listen, you pray your will. He said, and I will hear it. And I will answer it. I will do it. But you got to abide in me. You got to remain on that vine. And you got to receive that blood that's coming from that vine. Well, tonight there's conditions to be met, but boy, if we meet them, you're going to find some hopefulness in your life. Why many people are trying to live this Christian life and they're not. And they're praying and the prayers don't get past the ceiling. Something's wrong. They say, what's wrong? God left me. God don't care about me. God sees where I'm at and He's leaving me alone. I'm telling you, what kind of God is that? No, what kind of branch are you? Because it's dependent upon your abiding in the vine, not the husbandman. The husbandman, listen, it ain't his fault. The husband, the father up there who owns the vine, who owns the branches, is not making the branch stay on the vine. You must abide in that vine. Don't blame God tonight for your misery of state. Oh, lastly tonight, the branch that responds to the vine's benefits. In other words, is that vine tonight, is that vine and has that branch on that vine? Stay with me, I'm going to close. This is my first closing, I think. Is that vine is giving those nutrients to those branches, right? It's giving that water, giving that food, giving all those resources. As long as that branch is responding from all that coming from the vine, that means tonight, as long as you're taking this, what God's given you. God's given you $10, be thankful for $10. God's given you a family, be thankful for the family. God giving you a job, God giving you health, God giving you this, God did this, God did this. Whatever it is in your life tonight, whatever God's resources He has on you, whatever God's supplying and what God's providing for you, thank God for it. Don't complain in it. Don't be content with what you have tonight, and don't ask God for more than what you want tonight, because you probably can't have it, handle it, or He'd have given it to you already. Oh, but be thankful and content tonight and respond with what God gives you. He said, now if you pray, He said, I'll do it. That's abiding in me. Tonight, can you see tonight the importance of abiding in Christ? If you're not abiding in Him tonight, you're not even saved. You're lost without God. But you can be saved tonight. Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Do you believe that tonight? What honor that is. What privilege. Tonight, what hope. Do you believe it tonight? Oh, just abide in Him tonight. Oh, just get with God tonight and just hold on to Him. If you need to come to the altar tonight, come on. You say, man, I'm not saved tonight. I think I am. I don't believe I am. I ask the Lord to come to my heart. Won't you come get saved? You say, I am saved, Brother Larry. I'm just not right with God. Won't you come get right with God? You say, well, I'm saved and I'm right with God. Won't you come and ask God to keep you there? Won't you come pray tonight for somebody else in here that might be lost, that might need help, that might need some provision from the Lord tonight? Won't you come tonight and ask God to do something in your heart and your life? Won't you ask? Ask the Lord to help tonight. Oh, let's respond to what God is saying tonight. Let's ask God to do something here tonight in our hearts. Oh, if there's any time tonight that we need God tonight, it's tonight. Oh, today's the day of salvation. Oh, don't put off God tonight. Don't put Him off. If you die in your sin, you'll go to hell. And Jesus came to die for your sin. Won't you trust Him tonight? Oh, may God be honored. Christ be glorified in your life. Lord, I abide in You tonight. I just stay. I not leave. I not forsake. I just hold on tighter. Some have come. Would you come? Oh, tonight. That God may move into our surface, into our hearts.